This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. A staple of life here in Vermont is our small towns. Many of them are run by volunteers, trying to do their best for their communities. Recent disasters, though, like last year's flooding, have some town and state leaders thinking about different ways to organize our government. Figuring out how to apply for federal recovery programs, for example, is a time-intensive and complex undertaking. Is it something that a volunteer should do? Is that cost-effective? Is now the time to change Vermont's tradition of hyper-local governance? Well, this May, Governor Phil Scott signed a bill into law, S-159. It establishes a committee to study whether regional governance could optimize things like public safety and tax collection. The committee has already started meeting, and its next gathering is December 11th. Today, we're going to learn a bit of what they're talking about. We're joined by Senator Ruth Hardy of Addison County. She co-sponsored this bill, and she is also the chair of the Senate Government Operations Committee. Senator Hardy, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
We are also joined today by Peter Gregory. He's the executive director of the Two Rivers Ottauquechee Regional Planning Commission in central Vermont. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Very, very happy to be here.
And last but not least, we have Ted Brady with us. He's the executive director of the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, and all these folks joining us today have been involved in these discussions about what establishing regional governance could look like. And listeners, you can join the conversation too. I bet many of you have been having these conversations at your town or city level. Give us a call and tell us about what you're thinking. Does regional government make sense to you, or do you have concerns? 800-639-2211 is our number. You can also send an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. So, Senator Hardy, give us a lay of the land here in a little bit more detail than what I just did. So, Vermont currently has state government and it has municipal government. How is that structure different from the proposal of regional government?
Well, thanks, Michaela. First of all, I want to be clear. We have state government, we have municipal government, and we also do have county government currently. But the county government we have is a fairly weak county government system. So our county officials include sheriffs, county clerks, county assistant judges, and also state's attorneys, which are elected at the county level. And many of our courthouses around the state are county courthouses. So we do have county government in Vermont. And in fact, county governments have a budget and they also collect and impose taxes. So I think one of the things that is pretty clear is that most people don't know about our county government. It's not very transparent, and it's not very well known who our county officials are, except for perhaps our sheriffs, who are the most well known in the counties. So what this committee started as is we introduced S-159 last session after I have been chair of the Senate Government Operations Committee for one session, and all of us on the committee saw this pattern where a lot of the issues we were dealing with, we thought, wow, this could be a little bit easier to manage if we had more well-defined county government or regional government. And those included public safety issues like oversight of sheriffs and use of dispatch to get emergency services, and also included issues about property reappraisals, and even in one case, counting ballots regionally instead of at all of our tiny little small municipal levels. And we were just noticing this pattern, and so last session, all six of us on the Senate Government Operations Committee sponsored S-159 as a way to start a conversation about what should we or could we do to strengthen county government or another form of regional government in Vermont in order to handle some of these more complex issues that keep coming up? And that includes the recent flooding and the response and recovery to the flooding around Vermont, and how could that issue be better addressed potentially if we had stronger county or regional government.
Right. And again, I appreciate you emphasizing that this is just in the study phase, the make a committee and talk about it phase, though that is moving along. The next meeting again is in December. Peter, you're the head of one of the state's dozen or so regional planning commissions. How exactly would a regional government system different from our system of regional planning commissions?
Well, thank you. And it's great to have Senator Hardy and Ted Brady from the League, all three of us, serve Vermonters and serve our communities in multiple ways. So we share that right off the bat. There are 11 regional planning commissions in the state of Vermont. They cover all communities. We are actually political subdivisions of the state, much like a municipality or a solid waste district, so we're not nonprofits. We are a planning-related governmental level. We do a lot of tasks under our enabling statute, but as we have found in working nationally, there are like over 39,000 units of government around the country, and about 35,000 of them are actually covered by councils of government, which are entities that have additional enabling statutes that allow them to serve their communities in more ways than we're able to under current Vermont statutes.
That sounds really complicated.
Well, it is.
39,000 different units?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the difficulties in many states with so many units of government, the coordination of services, going across political boundaries, because none of the issues we face stop at political boundaries, as we know. So I think all states are grappling with ways to provide better services more effectively at the sub-state level. I think the flooding certainly kind of highlighted that, but the regional planning commissions in Vermont have been studying this for a couple of decades, and about 10 years ago, raised this issue in a more substantive way.
Mm. And before we dive into the flooding and some of the issues that experience brought up for many towns, Ted, I'm wondering if you could help us put Vermont in a bit more context here, just like Peter was. Why is local government so baked into Vermont's DNA?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I mean, local government is the essence of Vermont. It's where we get most of our services as Vermonters. It's the piece of government that we can touch the most. It's the piece of government that's the most accountable to us. And it has an enormous impact on the daily lives of every Vermonter, whether it be from snow plowing to road maintenance to public safety to your drinking water to your parks and libraries. And so this is a very special thing. And here in Vermont, all of these things are delivered at that municipal level because, most of Vermont is incorporated. A lot of places around the country, everybody doesn't live in a town or a city. You know, they live in a county, and the closest town or city might be down the road. So it's a little different here in Vermont. And when we start talking about, how do we provide Vermonters with more equitable services? How do we provide Vermont municipalities with more capacity? I think it's a great question about, is there a way to make us work more collaboratively together to deliver certain services? I think that's a pretty natural and something, a natural reaction to some of the national events and state events. And one of the most important things as we do this, though, I think, is that we recognize that this local government thing we have in Vermont is pretty unique and special. It's also, the UVM Center for Rural Studies, year after year for decades, has been asking Vermonters about their opinions of local government. And it's one of the only statistics that rises when it comes to people's confidence and trust in local government. The scores keep going up. Nationally, it looks that way too. So we're pretty lucky to have so many people contributing to this thing we have in Vermont.
Yeah. So lots of pros and cons to weigh here as part of this committee, Senator Hardy. So we've brought up the flooding last year and this year's flooding a couple of times. Let's dive into that now. I feel like that flooding kind of jump-started these conversations about potentially implementing regional governments. It's a conversation that's come up before in Vermont, but something about the flooding really triggered it again. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks. I think you're right that the flooding kind of made this issue a little bit more urgent, in large part because right after the flooding, towns and municipalities had to respond in an emergency situation, and a lot of our emergency services are regional services, and not every town has the capacity to respond in such a way. They might not have their own police force, they might not have a fully staffed fire and rescue at that kind of thing. But in the aftermath, applying for federal funds to do the recovery services is really complicated. And I know that you and others have reported on this, with the town officials really, really just struggling to access the federal FEMA funds, to jump through all the hoops that are required and to meet all of the needs of the people in their communities. And in most cases, these are small towns with fully volunteer members trying to navigate a really complex system.
So help me, Senator Hardy, answer a question we got ahead of today's show from Andy, who is Dover's town clerk. Andy writes, under the cloak of helping small towns deal with the dysfunction of FEMA, Montpelier is simply trying to tax Dover to fund services in Brattleboro. This is all about money. It is secondarily about power as a means to get that money. Rural towns will be the losers. What are your thoughts on that concern?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with what he's talking about the Dover-Brattleboro situation. That's not my area of the state, so I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to there. But I think that what we're exploring is not taking any kind of power or any kind of function away from municipal governments, but what we're exploring is how can we work together regionally more cooperatively for the benefit of everybody in the region. Mm. And the federal government actually usually sends funds down through counties, and that's the prominent structure in most of the 50 states. There are only two states that have no county government at all, and we are one of the few states that has county government that's very, very weak county government. So when the federal government is sending funds down to states, they often send it to the county level. This was true during the COVID pandemic as well, and Vermont had to get special permission to have that funding go to municipalities. And there were a few municipalities in Vermont that actually didn't even want that money mm-hmm. because they weren't sure how to manage it. And so some of this is about interface with our federal partners to make sure that we're not leaving money on the table and that we're getting the funds and the assistance from the federal government that we need, especially during times of emergency, but also for other purposes. For example, the Federal Infrastructure and Inflation Reduction Act, that funding also generally comes through counties, and all of the other New England states have gotten a lot more of that funding than Vermont has, in large part because we just don't have the structure of government available to us to capture some of those funds.
Sorry to jump in on you there. I just want to make sure we get some other voices in there. Peter, I'd love your thoughts here on how the flooding might have influenced your view of these regional government ideas.
Well, again, as I said earlier, these discussions in our circles have been going on for quite some time, and the pandemic really ratcheted up it much more, and then the flooding even more so. But I am witnessing the challenges that our small communities have in doing FEMA reimbursement requests and documentation, and it is onerous, and we are looking at ways to work with FEMA to enable regional planning commissions to help them with paperwork. And we believe right now current federal law would allow that, so we're trying to get some clarity on that. But the flooding is front and center, and it's not just the last couple. It's all the way back to Irene. We have quite a few open disasters in the state, and funding is not flowing nearly as fast as it should. In part by the paperwork that's required. And then What we fear is the auditing and monitoring after the fact, the record keeping, the quick turnover of municipal leaders, just make this process even more onerous for all of our communities, not just the smallest.
Mm. Ted Brady with Vermont League of Cities and Towns, what do you think about this concern that our other two guests are raising about the way federal funds are distributed?
Yeah, there's definitely an equity and a capacity issue in rural communities accessing federal money, and that's not unique to Vermont. That's across the entire country. Here in Vermont, we've benefited greatly from federal money, and our lack of county government has not stood in the way of that. All of the programs that are meant for counties that in the ARPA bill and others, we received that money. And the bipartisan infrastructure law, you know, you look at Burlington received a $22 million downtown development grant last year. Killington received a $25 million grant to rebuild the mountain road. South Burlington received $8 million to rebuild the pedestrian bridge. That's all bipartisan infrastructure law money. This money is coming into us. Vermont is always on the positive end of federal money. I think the problem is capacity and equity. And how do you address that? One is the state's never fully funded our regional planning commissions. So you look at the work that Peter Gregory does at Two Rivers out of Queechee and his peers, they are a lifeline to Vermont communities. They are the ones that towns call after a flood and say, help me with this FEMA mitigation grant, help me with this FEMA grant. I think we should really look at ways to bolster those programs and give them more resources to provide the assistance to towns we need. And I think there's a lot of other ways the County and Regional Governance Commission should look at ways we could help towns. I don't think necessarily the creation of county government's the solution. You know, Massachusetts abolished most of its counties a couple years back in the 90s. Connecticut abolished its counties years ago. New Hampshire has really limited county government. I don't think that's the solution. There may be, though, a regional solution that looks different, and I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Mm. Well, we're going to keep this conversation going, but we do need to take one short break. When we come back, I'll read some of the emails that we've gotten during today's show. You can also call in at 800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition. Stay with us. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Today, we are discussing regional governance. Our guests are Senator Ruth Hardy of Addison County, Peter Gregory, the executive director of the Two Rivers Ottauquechee Regional Planning Commission, and Ted Brady, executive director of the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. What do you think? Could regional government help your town? Have you been part of discussions about this in your area? Give us a call at 800-639-2211. Senator Hardy, I want to read a email that we got from one of your constituents, another Ruth in Cornwall. And she wrote in with some concern. She writes, I'm quoting here, "This is scary. Have we learned nothing from combining governance of education? It doesn't save money, increases bureaucracy, distances governance from the public, making it less reflective of our values and needs. We can work together and enter into agreements to increase efficiency and decrease redundancies without giving up oversight and decision making." And Senator Hardy, I'm really glad that this listener wrote in and brought up education, because I think that the concerns over education funding that came up and came to a head earlier this year are looming over this conversation, even if they're, you know, they seem separate to some of us. I'm wondering if you could address that.
Well, sure. I think that there have been conversations for many, as Peter has said, decades over the best way to structure government in Vermont, regional and local government, including our school districts. And I have been involved in a lot of those conversations related to our school districts. And I do want to, I understand that people hearing this sound might be concerned and worried, including my constituent, Ruth. It's always nice to hear from another Ruth. So I do want to emphasize, first of all, that as you said at the beginning, this is only in the study phase right now. There is a government, county and regional government study committee that just started its work this year. The report is not due to the legislature until a year from now, November 1st of 2025. And we are a legislative study committee, but we're working with a technical advisory group that includes a lot of the partners that have been brought up, including the regional planning commissions, the League of Cities and Towns. Ted is involved in it. public safety partners, some of the funding partners like the Vermont Bond Bank and others. So there are a lot of people at the table. And we also are working on finalizing an agreement with the Leahy Center for Rural Studies, which Ted mentioned, at UVM to do some research and provide some context and options for possible changes to county or regional government in Vermont. So this is not something that's going to happen overnight, for sure. It's not going to happen next session. And what we're really trying to do is address some of the, as many people have mentioned, the capacity issues that a lot of our small, very small town governments are experiencing, and also some of the really big issues that we're trying to solve in Vermont, like housing, for example. Housing planning and the infrastructure that needs to come first in order to create housing, like sewer and water and roads and bridges, that can't be done very effectively on the micro level. And so needing to have a regional look at how we can really build effective and affordable housing. Mm. And those are some of the issues that I think looking more appropriately at regional government could start to really address. And just want to say that the Council of Governments model that someone mentioned, I think Peter, is something that is definitely on the table. We were talking just in our last meeting with Connecticut about their Council of Governments structure and how it works there. So we are looking at a lot of different options, and I don't think anybody should get worried yet. We're really just in the exploratory phase of how do we make government at the regional and local level provide better services to Vermont. And right now we actually have a bunch mm-hmm. of regional government structures, multiple layers of them. The planning commissions are just one of them. Some of our partners are actually mapping that right now. So we have multi-layer maps of regional government in Vermont, including solid waste districts, the communication unions districts, the planning commissions, county mm-hmm. governments, and et cetera. So we have all this right now, but it's not delivering services in the most effective, efficient, or equitable way.
So Senator Hardy, you mentioned that this is still in the study phase, but Peter, I saw an interview that you did with VT Digger where you said you really don't want to wait for the end of 2025 when this committee's study comes out. You said, I think there needs to be some movement on this issue in the next session. Our towns can't wait another 2 years while we try to solve everything in one fell swoop. Tell us more. What kind of action would you like to see in the next session?
Well, as Senator Hardy indicated, there are multiple players, multiple partners. A lot of discussion needs to be had about retaining local control that Ted so eloquently talked about, while enhancing our ability to be more effective in delivering services. The things I was talking about were not the end-all, the be-all for all the different governmental entities and trying to mesh everything together, like I said, in one fell swoop. But to look at ways that we can tweak some statutes to further enable regional planning commissions in the interim to better serve our communities. After all, we are the only multi-issue organization out there. And I think it just makes sense to kind of look at some of the choke points that we've encountered in being able to serve our towns. And we're prepared to bring those forward this year and see if they resonate with legislators to further keep the ball rolling and moving, so we're not just waiting 2 years to do anything.
Mm. Speaking of those changes to statute, and Ted, I'd love your thoughts on this email I'm about to read. We got an email from Sheila, who says that she's the chair of the select board of a small town in Vermont. And she writes, "It's my opinion and experience that Vermont statute that guides the operations of towns is completely outdated and doesn't allow for effective operations. There are day-to-day issues that come up that, if not addressed, result in towns missing opportunities or sometimes non-compliance with state or federal requirements. As chair, I spend many hours a week attending to these administrative issues. Town managers or administrators are often hired to play this role, but not all small towns can afford to add this expense to the budget." Talk to us about that and the budget constraints of small towns in hiring folks that might be able to fill some of these gaps.
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. What a perfect point. The reality is, we're in this problem of capacity and equity because the state and the federal government have hoisted more and more responsibilities on local government with absolutely no resources. And in Vermont, almost all but about two dozen communities in Vermont rely on exactly one form of tax revenue, your property tax, to make their communities run. And that's unsustainable. They're also held under the shoe of Montpelier in that we're a Dillon's Rule state, which means towns can only do what the legislature says they can do. So here in Vermont, we're fortunate that over the years, we've actually created some ways for municipalities to work together, but they're kind of difficult to do. It's why people don't use them all that frequently. And you look at the way we do union municipal districts, you look at the way we do communication union districts, interlocal contracts, all these things are really specific. You know, the attorney general weighs in on these things. They have to go to a vote of the entire town. And those things slow things down and make it more difficult to work together. So you pile up a bunch of requirements and restrictions, and eventually you make it almost impossible to do your job as a volunteer select board member. I'm hopeful that we can look at some other models, with the ideas Peter's talking about. How do you create new mechanisms to allow towns to work together better? The other one on the capacity, the state's done a decent job recently putting some capacity in the field, giving the RPCs more money, giving VLCT more resources, funding the Municipal Technical Assistance Program to try to help towns access some more resources.
I want to bring in a call here. We have John calling in. I believe this is Representative John Arison from Wethersfield. John, go ahead.
Thank you for having me. First of all, I'd like to chime in on what some of the guests have already said about volunteerism.
Sure.
I represent Wethersfield, Cavendish, and Baltimore, small town of Baltimore, medium size of Cavendish and Wethersfield. And currently, Wethersfield is sharing a land use administrator with Rockingham and Windsor. We relied on a part-time person for years and years, and it turned into a revolving dorm. Most of the time, we've had somebody that wasn't confident or just that went on to another job with benefits. So anyway, that seems to be working out already for us. Money-wise, we have two fire departments within the town of Wethersfield, and staffing with volunteers for fire departments is becoming more and more problematic. And also on top of that is the cost of the equipment. Class A pumper is now pushing $600,000. A ladder truck is $1 million. Those aren't kind of bills that small towns can afford. So regionalization of fire service equipment is definitely needed.
Thank you, John. Representative Arison. Senator Hardy, are these issues that you are hearing about from constituents in your part of Addison County?
Yeah, absolutely. As Rep Arison mentioned, regionalizing fire, EMS, and first response, including dispatch, is definitely a conversation that we're having. And the cost of providing those services at the micro-local level is just really onerous for towns at this point. So, in fact, just last week, the Firefighters Association reached out to me and asked if they could be part of the technical advisory group, and that is right now where a lot of the partners who are in the field experiencing these capacity issues are having conversations about what are the issues that we really need to address first, and the issues that have come to a head for our small towns and small governments in Vermont, and could we regionalize something to take some pressure off the small towns while preserving the very important and rich history of our municipal governments, of course, as Ted has said.
Peter, thoughts there?
Pardon me?
I was just wondering if you had thoughts to add, especially after Representative Arison's comments.
Yes, I he is spot on the need to do that. In Two Rivers, we are providing a shared service on energy coordinator among seven towns in our region. Because none of those towns by themselves could fund the position, but collectively they were able to do that at our office. So we're doing some experimentation in that realm, and we have for a long time just seen the need grow. And that's why I'm so excited that this conversation is happening.
We got another email just now from Ethan, who wrote to us about a public safety summit that he attended back in January in Burlington. And Ethan says that they heard from a group in Reno. I'm assuming that's Reno, Nevada, but I'm not sure. And he writes, their county level governments had enough resources and common interests to help make progress around issues of homelessness and drug use. Developers, nonprofits, and county governments were working together. And Ethan goes on to write, the sentiment from many at the event was that we were doomed in such an effort when each town in Chittenden County has competing interests and opinions on solutions. Ted, are we doomed?
I don't think we're doomed. I do think it's complicated. I do think it's democracy, right? That's the reality of trying to get a bunch of people together working on the same page. And I don't think we should oversimplify it and say a higher level of government's going to solve that problem for us. You know, the state of Vermont's the size of some counties. It's actually smaller than some counties in population across
the county that I was born in is 1.1 million people.
Yeah. So I don't think the county government's going to solve that. I also want to go back to something Representative Arison said, who, by the way, is a select board member, a VLCT member. Representative Arison pointed out that they decided to team up with other towns to provide this shared service. That's the other key that I think is so important as we approach this regional conversation. Towns need to opt in. Towns need to identify with whatever region they create. The state can't create these. And I am very nervous about that. The state likes to create things. The state, you know, creating a new form of government, a new thing that could tax Vermonters scares me. But when towns accountable to the people they serve come together and say, hey, we should provide this service regionally, that's something that we should listen to. In Bellows Falls, Rockingham, Saxons River, just a couple weeks ago, they were having a conversation about merging their three fire departments. These are the conversations that we as state leaders should be trying to encourage and find ways to enable.
Senator Hardy, I would love your thoughts there as we wrap this up in response to Ted's points. But I'm also wondering if you could add in your answer as well about how we would figure out who are the leaders of these regional governments. Has there been discussion of that at all? Would we be electing new leaders?
Well, first, I want to just respond to something that Ted said, and then I'll answer that if that's okay, Michaela.
Sure. Yes.
We right now in statute there are ways for government for municipalities to have intermunicipal agreements to share services, as has been mentioned, and in some cases that works really well, and in some cases the complexity of getting a bunch of towns to agree on sharing services has really prevented those services from ever being shared. And I think one of those instances is actually dispatch services in Chittenden County, where there was a years-long effort to try to provide emergency dispatch among a bunch of municipalities in Chittenden County, and it eventually fell apart because the towns couldn't all agree on how to do it and who would take the lead and how they would all pay for it. So sometimes those intermunicipal agreements are just really, really difficult to get to provide the services. And then managing and monitoring those agreements and those intermunicipal services can also be really complex, especially when you don't have enough people at the municipal level to do so. I think, and we talked about this at our last meeting and got some testimony on intermunicipal agreements and the complexities of them. So they're not always the answer, and having a better, more cohesive structure may make some of those regional services easier to provide. In terms of who would be leading the new structure, if that's indeed what we end up wanting to recommend, we haven't gotten that far yet. It could be a collection of people that are current leaders, members from each municipality, creating a broader regional board similar or like our regional planning commissions. It could be a different structure at the county level where there's a county commission. We just really haven't gotten that far. Right now we're just trying to collect information about what is happening out in the field and different possible models, hearing from around the country as to how that works. So stay tuned, I think, to see where we might end up. And again, it would just be recommendations. Ultimately, if there are any major changes, they would have to go through the legislative process. And that's, you know, as you know, takes a long time. So we're at the information collection stage at this point.
Well, clearly lots more to come. We will be paying close attention. Senator Ruth Hardy of Addison County, Peter Gregory, the executive director of the Two Rivers Ottauquechee Regional Commission, and Ted Brady with Vermont League of Cities and Towns. We're so glad you could all join us today, and we will keep this conversation going as these meetings progress. We're going to take one more quick break here. Coming up, deer season is upon us. We'll talk with Fish and Wildlife about the state's deer and moose populations and some important safety tips if you're planning to tromp around in the woods this fall. This is Vermont Edition. Stay with us.